Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1.
Wow,
you wouldn't know it rained all day, would you? This is beautiful. For all of you that missed, you should be here. You should be here, right? And so, rain, go away. Come again another day. Hit Dayton, you know, not Cincinnati. What are we doing? And Todd told me that Andrew Tooney's praying harder than I am, so that rain's coming south. And so, you know, I'm going to pray the curse of God on Andrew. No, I'm just kidding. We got to trust the Lord, rain, sleet, or snow. We got to be better than the mailman, right? Let's read this entire chapter, and then we're really going to focus verse 10 on, but just the same titles last week, part two, I guess, our great need for wisdom, our great need for wisdom. Again, this is a little segue before I get back to Exodus in a way that'll be a little bit different, and but I think by God's grace, it will be it'll be delightful when we cover some of these more detailed sections of God's word, but I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lay privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Verse 20, wisdom, given a persona, given a personality, feminine. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She, wisdom, crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city of, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Verse 24, the consequence of not listening. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand. This is wisdom continuing to talk. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I also, wisdom again speaking, will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. They'll seek wisdom, but I will not answer. Too late. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth or listens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Again, our great need for wisdom. We talked last week, you know, this opens up the Proverbs of Solomon. Most of these Proverbs are written by Solomon, or basically he was the secretary. Remember this? God, this is his word. He used men to actually pen the eternal, ever-existing, everlasting words of God. It's an amazing thing that he would take the very personalities of a man, and then he would have him, through his experiences, through his thoughts, pen the very words of God based on the movement of the Holy Spirit in their life. So he's writing to his son. So when you see my son, that should not have the ladies discount this, but we saw last week. We saw last week, and it's the only section I got, the importance of wisdom and instruction. And Proverbs, I'm just going to tell you this. If you are not a believer, if you're not truly born again, if you're not saved, Proverbs would be good for you. Proverbs would be better. I went to secular colleges and got 2 degrees. The book of Proverbs is 100 times better than all the classes I had combined. Not even close. Went to business school. It's a joke. If you have a business degree, you're probably not that bright. Doesn't mean that, but business school is not for the sharpest, okay? And I've got 2, okay? So I'm just telling you, a waste of time, but it gives you a piece of paper that might open doors. Not against that. But let me tell you, what I learned was not at school. And so, you know, a business degree, so if you're insulted by that, right? But it's you know, here's what I got. Probably criminal justice. Gotta be super careful. I'm not going to go and tell you, though. Business is right up there. It's top 3 nonsensical, non-beneficial degrees. Okay? I'm not. What's that? I almost said that. Now I want to tell you this. So I didn't say that. You cross your arms. The body language speaks volumes, okay? It does. Remember this. I believe we need godly elementary school teachers, right? But I'm telling you this, it wasn't your education that's going to make you a great elementary school teacher. It's God. Had a guy in South Africa, this was not planned freebie because of your crossing your arms and your attitude. Guy in South Africa, we were talking about what makes a man, and they have this ritual in South Africa that I'm completely in any way, shape, or form, I just hate it all. And we ought not to imitate something that is ungodly. And they go out to the bush and they do these things. And he said, you know, going out to the bush, he said, that's what made me a man. And I wasn't planning on this conversation, right? And I said, oh no, your problem is that's what you think made you a man. And I said, it's God that made you a man, and you forgot who should be getting the credit, and you give the credit to something that's ungodly, and you should just be so embarrassed that you said that's what made you a man. Then you feel bad when a preacher cries, right? And I'm like, oh, it was one-on-one, right? You think I'm passionate in front of a crew. I was trying to help him, right? I want you to know this. You ought to be awesome elementary school teachers. It's not because of your degree. I think you could probably admit that now that you're that far through, right? But it's a sifting process. It's a separation. You love those kids eternally. You love those kids unto the Lord, right? That's why we need godly elementary school teachers. But you were probably an elementary school teacher way before the degree, and it's probably only hurting you. That's my opinion. Anyway, let's get back to Proverbs. The best, it's you want to live in a way that will help you. See, I want you to know this. I want you to remind you this. God's pro people. He's very anti-sin. And sometimes that makes you think he doesn't care for you because sin is so bad, but he does. John 3:16 should help you understand that for God so loved the world that so rebelled against him and hated him and turned their back on him, and not one of us wanted him without him wanting us. That's the great God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then God gives us books. He said, I'm telling you, I want you to know how to live. I made you. Just listen to me and you'll find out I'm right. But boy, stubbornness, stubbornness, stubbornness. Wisdom involves rejecting calls to sin. Wisdom involves rejecting calls to sin. Now what you're going to see here, and this will help me a little bit further, you're going to see that it talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is important, okay? But wisdom is not knowledge. Wisdom is the righteous use of knowledge to honor God, okay? my definition changes all the time. You know, I'm kind of giving you a directional, but it's not about knowledge. But you do have to know things. But knowing the difference in knowledge and wisdom is taking things that are true and executing against them and living by them. That's wisdom from above, and we'll talk that in a second. But you do need to understand truths of the Bible. You need to have knowledge. Proverbs is going to give you a lot of knowledge, and it's just, will we listen? And when we don't, then we blame God. And so one of the first warnings, we talked this last week a little bit, is that God warns us about who we are hanging around with. Who we are hanging around with. I don't care, young and old, who you hang around with will affect you. Now, this is super important. We hang around with people less and less today. We are more separated from people less and less today. I mean, it is, I love the convenience of life, right? It's like, you know, the shuttle didn't pass the other day, but it wasn't major things. You know, they always find crazy things. And I'm ordered on Amazon when they're telling me, like, what do I got to get? I got to get that sticker and, you know, whatever. And it's like, choink, it came to my house today. It's like, that's so nice. I used to run around like a chicken with my head cut off just trying to find different things. And it's just so convenient and so nice, and we get isolated from people. I want you to know this. When the Bible says, like, look at what we're going to talk about here. I want you to see this. It's keys to avoiding sinful behavior. Let me read this commentator. I thought this was good. It talked about hanging around with the wrong people. He said, they can do thee no harm unless your will joins in with them. Listen to that. They can do you no harm unless your will joins in with them. Not even the devil himself can lead a man into sin till he consents. Were it not so, how could God judge the world? I love the statement, not even the devil himself can lead a man into sin till he consents. Were it not so, how could God judge the world? It's so fascinating, right? When you think of the Garden of Eden, you know that God held the serpent accountable? That's going to be one of my, you know, questions, you know, among millions, is, Lord, how did you, because he was just in holding the serpent accountable. Remember, because he turns to the serpent and gives a pronouncement of judgment on the serpent, it appears snakes didn't slither and eat the dust of the ground prior to sin. And so he held the serpent accountable for allowing the devil to inhabit him and deceive Eve. And so it is, just listen to this, not even the devil himself can lead a man into sin until he consents. Were it not so, how could God judge the world? Keys to avoid sinful behavior. The first thing, don't consent. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent is to agree. Don't agree with them. Don't follow them. Don't join them. And it's one of the keys, if you want to avoid sin. And so I was about to say this. We don't hang around people, so here's the key. What you watch, what you listen to, what you are bringing into your lives through social media, what you are bringing into your lives through the internet, what you are bringing into your lives through the television screen, what you are bringing into your lives through things that you may not hanging around people, but you're hanging around people. You know, I mean, I don't know. There's a million of them now, right? What's Housewives or something, you know, there's like Housewives of every city in America now, right? If you're watching those shows, you're wrong. If you're watching any Bachelor or Bachelorette, you're wrong. Okay, I mean, I'm just telling you, they're not godly, right? Now, I'm not, again, all I'm trying to do is help you, right? Just to say this, you don't think that's affecting you? It's not what Christianity is about. It's for me to get up here and tell you. I'm going to tell you, I've got all these shows I'm going to tell you about. No, it's like this. It's like, I don't know if there's hardly anything good to watch. Just be careful. You think you're not hanging around with people? Who are you hanging around and bringing into your mind, into your eyes, into your thoughts? It's affecting you far more. It's affecting me far more than we ever give credit to. When we consent and say, we'll allow you into our home, it's affecting you more than you think. Now, we do have this weakness that we want people to like us. So we struggle just saying no. And the world is tenacious. It is, it's so interesting, right? It's just, it's so interesting in that I've talked to Don, I've talked to Nassim. Here's the world, right? So Don, most of his, in fact, all of your brothers are lost. His brothers, one in particular, is so hateful and acts like Don is the dumbest, weirdest, terrible guy because he's become sold out for Christ. Or so he thinks. You got a long way to go, Don. But you know what his brother would rejoice over? If Don started fornicating, drinking, carousing, doing all the things that he does, he'd say, "Oh, Don, I'm glad you saw the light." Would he not? Nassim just came back with family, loves his family. And more than once, but less than 10 times, or was it more than 10 times? Oh, well, you should know what I'm going to say. They, several individuals, at least several, wanted you to, come on, Nassim, just one drink. Just one drink. Come on, it can't be. Come on, Nassim, just one drink. Come on, Nassim, just a little smoke. Right? A little bit different than what the Jordanians smoke, right? It's like some humongous thing. And so it's not like you know, a cigarette or something or anything else, but it's the hookah. Okay, yeah. So anyway, I could tell you something. I'll just tell you this. The first time I saw a place that, I'm not even going to go there, but it's, how many times? Half a dozen? At least. They can't accept that Nassim just, you didn't go in there, you didn't say one thing about them drinking. One thing about them smoking. But man, they did to you because they want to get you to be in their same tent, in their same camp. It's so amazing to me. The boldness of the world. Where are we Christians? Oh, you need to come and study the Bible with me. You need to see what God says. God is so much better than that, and I know that's your message that you give to them, right? And it's, we ought to be bold. I'm not talking obnoxious. We don't force anything down people's throat. But the world will press you. They will press you. They will press you. They will press you. I told you, I was in the corporate world for 25 years. I was in my 40s. And they would press me to drink. It was the greatest thing ever happened to me because it would just open up doors for witnessing and a testimony, and I loved it. I was blown away how many people were still trying to convince me that I needed to drink. See, that's what the world does. They just want to, and the devil, just, come on now. Don't you make me feel bad. No, they never say that. Come on now. Come on now, you're just like me. I know, you're just like me. Come on now. You're just like me, right? You've never gotten on your brother for his behavior. Try to love your brother, and sometimes you just want to have a conversation, and he brings it up every time. Then he blames you for bringing it up. You keep loving your brother because Christ is honored. I don't know what the end result will be for your brother, but Christ is honored. And it's difficult, is it not? But it is shocking, but we must be aware. Oh, parents, are you aware that the world is after your children like that? I'm telling you, I am not, by God's grace, I don't want to let my guard down. I don't know what my future holds. I don't want some tragedy. I don't want some horrible thing. It may happen in my life. I want to turn to Christ and nothing else. You see, I don't want to be so foolish that, you know, I turn to something else. I told you, a really good friend of mine, his father was in his 60s, had his own business, multimillionaire. The economy collapsed. He had 80% of his business with Toyota, and his whole business went under, and he did everything to save it, and he lost everything. One friend, one night, he's in his 60s, said, "Hey, why don't you just take a snort of this particular drug?" Try not to give too much press for drugs. But it's like he said, "You know what? I do need to escape. I'm going to take one night off." Boom, hooked, an addict, He's still crawling in drug houses to this day. He almost, when you visit him, he's almost like got the glassy look. He's in his 70s now. All he lives for is the next hit. He took one night and just said, you know, you're right, it's been rough. I just need to escape and forget about it. Doesn't happen to everybody like that. Old people, we're not immune to verse 10. Oh, let me tell you why I love Proverbs for young people. It'll keep you from a multitude of sins, and it'll keep you from a life that'll be a train wreck. Sin always ends up in a train wreck. Look at this. First thing to do, you want to avoid sin, don't consent. Do not consent. Second thing, do not believe the promise, the false promises. Look at, if you will, look at verse 13. He says, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. That's always the promise. Look at what the real motive is in verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh the life of the owners thereof. It's this. We want to do it the easy way. We want to do it the shortcut way, right? We just, come on, it's just like the commercials. You can tell I didn't produce alcohol commercials because I'd have people like throwing up at the end, you know, puking over a toilet the next morning. I'd show head-on collisions of the drunk. I would show men abusing their wives because they're drunk. I would show the effect on children because of alcohol. But all they show you, you carry this bottle, you'll get the woman. Mm-hmm. As though that's everything to live for. Companionship is amazing. Loneliness is a tool of the devil. God created marriage, and it's good, and it's wonderful. God created us to be social beings and to interact, and it's wonderful. One of the reasons he established his churches so that we would gather together and we would have just unity and fellowship in Christ. He's the reason why all of us should be glad that we get to rub elbows together, because you're my brother. You're my sister. And that's why we should also treat them well. Don't believe the false promises. It's exactly what the devil does. Glitz and glamour and everything. And I'm telling you, it's, you know, I'll do this because it's going to be in Proverbs as well. Gambling. Anybody that gambles in here, you are stupid. Okay, so if you misunderstood me, dummy dum dum, okay? And all they do is they show, you know, like winners. Go look at the studies. And all it is, it's a tax on the poor, the tax on the uneducated, and the tax on the stupid. I know. You didn't have to come tonight. But it's false promises, false promises, false promises, false promises, false promises. Jesus never gave a false promise. I love that about Christ. I'll tell you this, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Never has anything happened to me that is different than what the Bible says. Now, my life, I want it to be better, but you know what the cause of my less than better is? You. No, it's it's sin. It's sin. Sometimes my sin, most of the time my sin, but I'm living in a sinful world. You understand this? Why is my life less than what I would hope and what less than what God would love? Sin. Wisdom should keep us from sin. We're going to look at what wisdom from above is. But if you don't consent, you don't agree, you know, you got to have the courage to walk away over and over and over again. The world is tenacious. They are not satisfied until you join them. They're just not. Oh, parents. Do you know where your kids are at? Do you know what your kids are doing on their phones? Do you know who they're talking to? Do you know who? I'll tell you this. My encouragement for every single parent, make your house the hangout house. You know, I mean, let me just tell you, when my son-in-law was dating my daughter, I said, you're always coming here. She's never going to your place. That's not an option. I didn't say it exactly that way, probably I did, but it is, and he got it. You want the girl bad enough, you put up with me. And I was helping them. Do you know this? I mean, they would fuss and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they thanked me today. They said, oh, Dad, we're going to be more strict than you. I said, why? What did I let through the cracks? But it's this, it's the world's after your kids. The world's after your kids. You know, you've got to begin to, as kids turn to be teenagers, you know, I mean, spankings, I'm going to tell you, spanking's over. They're adults. And so, you know, one of the principles I learned a long time ago, I love this. What do teenagers want? Freedom in your credit card. They want freedom. They just want to do what they want to do. Tell them this. They don't get any freedom unless they behave responsibly. They behave responsibly, give them freedom, but never so much that they're just totally on their own. One day they'll be totally on their own, and they'll find out, wow, life's expensive. But you want to help them. You want to mature them. I'm not talking about strangling them and into a point of, but the world will get to them. You know what I tell you to do? Shelter them. You can't. You know why kids are weird? Weird parents. Don't be a weirdo. Right? Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. Study the Bible. You want wisdom from God? Stay in the Bible. Stay in the Bible. You want to avoid sinful behavior? Don't consent. Don't believe the promises. Number three, don't support them. Look at verse 14. He says, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. They're like, hey, let's, you know, I mean, it sounds like Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4, where they put their money together and they did it for a godly reason. I want you to know this. Here's what I'm going to tell you this. When lost people want you to do things, don't let them use your car. Don't let them use your money. Don't let them use your house. That's, in essence, it's verse 14, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. They're going to want you to be complicit, to join them with that. I'm just telling you, you hang around the wrong people, then you will be labeled just the same as them. Who are you hanging around? And just listen to the talk. Come on now, come on now, come on now. I mean, do you know how criticized Christians would be if we did that? But the world, man, they have no hesitation to just over and over again say, come on now. You'll like it. You'll like it. And sometimes they'll cry. Okay, bad joke. Anyway, you wanna avoid sinful behavior. Don't walk with them. Look at verse 15. I love the progression. It's even good in Psalm 1, but it's this. My son, walk thou not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't walk with them. Keep your foot off their path. You've got to stay away. Now, we need to love them eternally and where we can interact with them eternally, but we will have nothing to do with where they're going, what they're doing. And I know the temptation. I see it over and over again. I've told you this many times. I'm entering into the hardest part of ministry. It's when our young people are growing up and they're graduating. And I don't want this to be true. Who will walk away? And we're going to love them. We're going to love you. You're not going to be ostracized. You're not going to be, we're going to love you. We're going to be brokenhearted, let me just tell you, brokenhearted. Because you believed the world, you believed the devil, and not God. I want to have compassion. I want to have love. I want to see people restored. I want to see people brought back. But it's going to be the toughest part of my ministry. Your children, who will be here? How many will be deceived? We better pray. We better seek the Lord's face. We parents, we adults, need to get right with God so we can help children that think the world has the answers and the world doesn't. Don't walk with them. Go a different direction. Verse 17, it's this. Don't be dumber than a bird. Okay, let's just see what verse 17 says. It says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. Surely in vain. There's empty, doesn't accomplish anything. So birds, dumb. Let me just tell you. They love the H on Honda. I'm just telling you. They're trying to eat it a lot of times. So I used to think as a kid, I thought, man, you know, I've told you this before. I thought, Birds are so amazing. They never hit a car. Until I'm started driving, it's like, you know, it's like, man, live, where was I? No birds were hitting my dad's car, but they hit my car all the time. Not because I'm going fast, but it is, if you, so here's how they would catch the birds, right? They would set a net, camouflage it, and then shwing, it would catch the bird. But if the bird's up there in the tree and going, look at Jacob. He's setting that net. Hey, Bruce, does he think we're dumb? You think we're going to go down to that net? You know what you need to do? You need to set the net when they don't see it. But he says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If you just know this, if you just listen, your friends aren't covering it up. Your friends that'll hurt you aren't hiding what they're going to do. They're really not. They're it's wide out in the open, and you're like a dumb bird. Like, this sounds like a really good idea, and you get caught. And you get messed up and you're dumber than a bird. You follow me? Birds have better sense than it's like, you know, that's a trap. That's a bad idea. I don't think I'm going to go in that. Oh, but your friends don't hide it. And you say, oh, that's a good idea. Just the other day, I won't tell you where I was. I saw one of our teenagers with the wrong crew doing the wrong things. I was in my car. They didn't know. I'm going to love them, pray for them. Things aren't going to go well if they keep hanging around with the wrong people. It may take 10 years. Either God's true or he's a liar. We really have to grasp that. Do I believe the Bible is God's holy word? Or do I just think it's a book for people to manipulate people and control people by religion? That's what's told a lot today. Then chuck it. And so I've changed. I say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you're damned. I've been saying that a lot lately. For people that say that, you know, so not tomorrow you die, tomorrow you're damned. Right? That's really what it's about, right? I tell you this, if you don't like the preacher, believe God. Wisdom. Don't be dumber than a bird. You want to avoid sinful behavior? Don't take the easy path, right? Look at verse 19. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So everyone that's greedy of gain, right? They just get rich quick schemes, lazy shortcuts. That's usually why we sin, because we're just, I'm not doing that. You know, it's this. You've got to say, you've got to be patient. You've got to be patient. It's interesting. Do you see at the end of verse 19? Look at verse 19. So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. We hear that a ton today. That all these rich people, I have a right to skin a rich person. All the billionaires and the millionaires and you hear that long enough, what do we see? We see mobs going into stores all over. It's just because why? Because we've preached that rhetoric long enough to say, you know what? Nobody's earned $1 billion. I don't care if they have or not. It's theirs. They'll answer for their money. Let me tell you, let God deal with them. It's to their peril, we talk Sunday, easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Would you rather have all the money that Jeff Bezos has and spend eternity in hell, or would you rather be poor and know Christ? I don't think you have to be poor. This life's but a vapor, but a shadow. But here's the interesting thing. Listen to your own voice. Are you content, or are you buying into? Look, I'm not standing up for the billionaires. I'm just telling you this. You know who creates jobs? Rich people. Right? I mean, I haven't created any jobs. And I know this. They're going to answer for abusing the poor. Yes. Let God take care of it. But if we keep buying into all this, then your kids, too, will think it's okay to mob a store because, you know what, Walmart. They're just ripping people off. You know, I deserve a free pair of shoes. We were over, it was just this last trip to South Africa. Where's Deb? Right back there. Last trip to South Africa, and there was a semi-truck that pretty bad wreck over, and it was alcohol. I mean, and there is, I don't even know if the driver was okay, right? Nobody cared. What were they doing? They were skinning the contents of the truck, people walking on the highways, carrying as much booze as they could. What? Just to go put them away from conscious reality? But somehow that's the first move. Rather than the driver, is he okay? Hey, look, there's a truck. Let's go take everything we can. It's just rich companies. It is, we ought not to have that mentality. You understand this? It is, I know there are evil business people. There are evil business owners. And don't work for them. But you're probably going to have to work for somebody. And if you're a business owner, treat your employees well. God will bless you. Be generous. Be kind. And God will bless you. You want to avoid sin? The Bible gives it patterns all over the place. And so let's just look at the availability of wisdom. The availability of wisdom. This is what I love. The Bible talks about this all the time. It's just listen and heed instruction. I give you this verse as well. This is just a famous verse, James 1:5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, anybody's, you notice there's no age parameter. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally or generously, and upbraideth not. He won't criticize, and it shall be given unto you. Here's what the Bible says. You want wisdom? Ask God. Now, it's also, understand this. What is wisdom? Wisdom is righteously executing knowledge. So you need to know the Bible. It's not enough to know the Bible. You need to know Christ, and then you need to do what is right. There shouldn't be a day go by without every single person in here, you should ask God for wisdom. We need wisdom in everything. It is good when we're put in circumstances that you feel incapable, because we are always incapable. It should turn us to God so that we ask Him for wisdom. Wisdom is just so abundantly available. We are in the information age. You can learn anything. Aiden, you want to tear an engine apart? Probably not. Who wants to tear an engine apart? Anybody else? You know this? You want to tear an engine apart after you dig to China? It is, you know what? I'll tell you this. You can learn how to tear an engine apart and put it back in a car. You can. Pretty cool, right? First time you do it, probably not going to be too great. But you can learn it. It's just going to take time. You know, we have so much available to us, so we can just about learn anything. The problem is we're late. Wisdom. So wisdom is executing righteous knowledge, right? You can learn anything. Not just about tearing motors apart and installing them, but you can learn anything. Are you willing to learn what God has to say so that you can live righteously? Look at Proverbs 16:3. I don't have it up on my screen, but I was just in there the other day. Proverbs 16:3. What a great verse. Some of you know that verse right offhand because you have it memorized. It's a great verse to memorize. I'm turning there just so I exactly quote it. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. It's interesting. You know what I tell you to do? I tell you to do. This is, it's sort of, you know, on Sunday morning sometimes when I'm like on the SMOs, the Sunday morning onlys, you're like, man, you're a little rough. And it's because I want them to get it. Commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts will be established. You know what messes us all up? Our head, our mind. You know why they call it mental illness? Because it's part of the head. You want your thoughts to be fixed. You want your thoughts to be established. Commit your works unto the Lord. I love this. I've just sat back and thought about this. I don't know of any person, okay, It's rarity that they commit their works unto the Lord, that they have a lot of mental instability. Look, life's hard. Those that dedicate themselves and they're dedicated to the work of God and they're dedicated to Christ and they commit their works unto the Lord, their thoughts will be established. I'm telling you this. I'm not against therapy, but I would tell you this. What I would tell you to do is do what God tells you to do, and if your thoughts aren't established, he's a liar. But it doesn't happen in 20 minutes either, okay? Commit thy works unto the Lord. It's so rare for me to put a plan together and for people to follow it, and then they come back and their life's a mess and they wonder why it's a mess. I will tell you, the great availability of wisdom, the lack of wisdom in us, in me, in America, in churches, in Christians throughout America is not God's fault. It's abundantly available. Look at this. Look at in verse 20. Let's just read 20 through 23 real quick. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. It's so abundantly available. It's more abundantly available than ever. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. It's not hidden in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You know, I tell people this. I didn't love school because I hated the requirement to learn whatever they told me. But what you have to do is do what you need to do and do it well. But if you don't like school, so I didn't like the structure of school and all that kind of stuff. I think I would have loved homeschooling. But maybe I wouldn't have, maybe it wasn't good for me, but I trust the Lord. But here's the key. How many of you kids say, I don't like school? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. And now here's what I'm going to tell you this. You better like learning. You better like learning. You understand the difference? You need to do the schoolwork. Get the basics down. Find out how God's gifted you. And then use that for His honor and glory. You need to have a good attitude. Your parents want you to go to school. You need to learn your reading, writing, and arithmetic. But I want to tell you this. It's you better not hate learning. You better love knowledge. You can grow up and say, I hate school, I hate school, I hate school, I hate school, I hate school. And all of a sudden, you're going to hate learning, and it'll be a difficulty for you. It was for me. I said, I hate reading, I hate reading, I hate reading. And that was stupid. I missed out on learning a lot. You learn a lot by reading. First the Word of God, and then you can read other godly books, autobiographies, biographies. They're incredible. It'll help you. I want to tell you this. It's okay if you don't like school. Still, submit yourselves, because life isn't about everything that we like. How many of you adults love to go to work every day? And whatsoever state I am, therewith I'll be content. No, we're not. Stephen Schultz. Zach, you need to work him a little harder. But so I get it, right? So, you know, it is, but you know what you do? You do it anyway, right? Life isn't about like, I like it, so I do it. That's not good. So you need to learn to do that with school if you don't like school, but I want you to know this. Don't let it make you hate learning. Aiden, love learning. Levi, love learning. Eli, love learning. You know, school, maybe like, I don't know. You know, it's the teacher that's really your struggle, right? It's like, I don't like the teacher. So it's his mom. But it's but I want you to know this. Don't you let that jade you from learning about God and His ways and His wisdom. You follow me? We can do that. It's one of my concerns about FBI. I love FBI. You know that. I tell every FBI student, don't let the Bible become a textbook. Here's what I did with textbooks when I was done with them. Whew! Or I tried to sell them back, get some penny back for them, right? And once I'm done with that textbook, never want to see that book again. If you treat the Bible that way, boy, you've missed it, right? You've missed it. The great availability of wisdom. I want you to see this, wisdom from above, and I'll get a hustle on it. James 3, you should study this. James 3, this is wisdom from above. But I've also, look at this. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm telling you, wisdom from above makes us approachable, gentle, peaceable people that are full of mercy. We just want to help others. We're not partial. That's wisdom from above. That's what we need. I want you guys to be so challenged just by this introductory material over these first 2 weeks. Proverbs ought to be one of your favorite books in the Bible. Remember this, Jesus Christ is wisdom. I want to mention that every week. You want to know eternal wisdom? It's in Jesus Christ. You want to know just basic truths of life? It's in the book of Proverbs. It's so available. The consequences of rejecting wisdom. Let me get through these quickly. Look at this. This is not God. This is the persona wisdom. This is once you've rejected wisdom and the consequences come. Once you say, I'm not doing that, and then the consequences come, everybody comes to me crying, and when the consequences come, you should turn to God. But that doesn't mean the consequences are going to stop. You didn't listen to God, and you're going to get a divorce. You're probably not going to rescue your divorce. God can, but most of the time it doesn't happen. You want everything fixed overnight, and it spent decades to do it. Here's what he says, because I, wisdom, have called, verse 24, and you refused. I've stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. You said, I'm not listening to you, Mom. I'm not listening to you, Dad. Wisdom says, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There's nothing wisdom can do. Too late to change that circumstance. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, as a tornado. More destructive than you could have imagined. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me. Then they'll call upon wisdom. It's like and I would tell you this, turn to God, do what's right, but you're probably going to bear those consequences for the rest of your life. David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, killed her husband, his life was miserable for the rest of his life as a consequence of his sin. And he did repent before God, but he still had to live with the consequence, and his family was a mess. You know why? He was focused on sin versus raising his family. And he couldn't undo that. Look at verse 29. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way. That's just reaping what we sow. And be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The Bible says, you listen to the devil, you're simple-minded. You think you're smart? Listen to God. He said, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And I just want to show you this, the one verse, the blessings of walking in wisdom. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know what I want to ask your grandfather, Lauren? I just want to ask him, what would you tell young people today? I'd love to hear from him, right? 89 years spans all the way back to, when was he born in? 1924? Okay. 1934. That covers World War II. Covers the Model T was already here. You know, we really didn't have a lot of automobiles in 1934, did we? I don't think we had a microwave. Whole lot of changes, you know. And what would he tell young people today? And so that's what I'm going to ask him tomorrow. What would you want me to tell him? I think some of what he'll say we'll find in Proverbs. Young person, old person, here's the simple message, and I'm done. God cares for you. He's only telling us this because he cares for us, not because he's wanting to make us miserable. You listen to the world. You listen to your brother, Don. You listen to your relatives. They act like the ways of God are misery. Sin is the way of misery. Will we believe God and his word? Or will we walk out of here tonight and say, you know what? I'm happy that works for you, but I'm okay. Wisdom. Wisdom from God. Let's pray.